Good morning. I'm Charles Burden, and I'm a member of Rivermont Church of Christ, which meets at 2316 East 100 Road in Chester, Virginia. Thank you again for listening to Seeds of Truth. Your regular speaker, Robert Swain, is in New Mexico for 2 weeks preaching gospel meetings, but he'll be back again on June the 11th. Colossians 2:8 tells us, "Be aware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." Upon learning the truth, a sincere heart can only obey. To do otherwise is to reject God. So now please grab your Bible, pencil and paper, and join in as we study from God's Word. It's my intent to simply teach from God's Word, and hopefully your reaction will be a sincere one, like the Jews we read about in Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached the gospel sermon. There, starting in verse 37, after Peter's sermon, it reads, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" You see, these individuals, upon learning the truth, wanted to know what God expected of them. A sincere heart will gladly receive the word of God and obey. It doesn't have to be delivered in a flamboyant, entertaining, or particularly exciting manner from a worldly point of view. All it has to be is God's truth. In Acts 2, verse 41, it reads, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." Those of a sincere heart followed Christ's instructions as delivered to the apostles by the Holy Spirit, and they were added to his church. Later in verse 47, it reads, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." In verse 47, we learn that the Lord adds you to his church when you're saved. His church, the one he built. And this brings us to the main focus of our lesson today. What is a church? In Matthew 16:18, Jesus said to Peter, based on Peter's confession about who Jesus was, he said in verse 18, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Jesus said that he would build his church, not churches, but singular church. This church isn't a man-made institution, but rather one that was built by Christ. The church is a body of Christ, according to Ephesians 1:23, and is part of God's eternal purpose, according to Ephesians 3:10 and 11. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, Ephesians 5:25. He nourishes and cherishes the church, Ephesians 5:29-30. And Ephesians 5:26 and 27 tells us that Jesus plans to present it, the church, a glorious church without spot or blemish. The Bible never references hundreds of denominations, and the word denomination doesn't appear in the Bible at all. Christ didn't die for a denomination, but rather Jesus will present his church, one church, the church he built, as a glorious church without spot or blemish. Certainly, any attempt to change what Christ built would be considered at least spot or blemish, if not outright apostasy. A sincere heart has to consider these things and ask the question, can man really improve upon what Christ built? A sincere heart has to look at things done as part of worship and service to God, hold it up to the scriptures, and determine if it falls in the category of Colossians 2:8. Here it warns against philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the principles of the world, and not according to Christ. So what exactly is the church? What is this church Jesus said he would build? The one that he loves, nourishes, and cherishes. If we desire to be in the church Jesus built, we should know what it is. Now let's start by defining the word church itself. The Greek word is ekklesia. And when you look in Strong's dictionary, you see that it is a compound word that literally translates as calling out. And while it is true that Christians are called by God, as we learn in scriptures like 1 Peter 2:9, in the biblical context, ekklesia is not referring to the called out nature of Christians, but more accurately, their assembly. Easton's Bible Dictionary defines this church, ekklesia, as being synonymous with the Hebrew word kahal, and both simply mean an assembly. And Thayer's Dictionary defines it as a gathering of citizens called from their homes into some public place, an assembly. Now, the fact is the same Greek word is translated as assembly in the Bible when referring to a general public gathering. You see ekklesia, the same Greek word. You see it in verses like Acts 19:39 and Acts 19:41. But when referring to Christians, this word ekklesia has two meanings. It is the whole assembly of people who are saved, both living and dead. In other words, the church universal. And it is also a company of saved people in a geographical area who work and worship together as a local congregation. So what is the church? Especially in the universal sense, it is that grand assembly or company of people who are saved by Christ, according to Ephesians 5:23. But the church is more than simply an assembly. We learn more about it from other scriptures. The church is the body of Christ, according to Ephesians 1:22-23. This lets us know the relationship Christians enjoy with each other and with Christ. Jesus is the head from which Christians receive nourishment, according to Colossians 2:19. As the head, he leads the body. He does the thinking for the body. And Christians are individual members of the body, according to 1 Corinthians 12:27 and Romans 12:5. These members must obey the head. Jesus prescribed how the church is organized and how it operates. And we get this from the New Testament, which includes his words while he walked on the earth and his words as delivered by the Holy Spirit. We are not authorized to stray away from what Jesus has given. 2 John 9 tells us, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ have both the Father and the Son. The church is also the household or family of God. 1 Timothy 3:15 tells us this, and Christians are in Christ's family, and thus brothers and sisters in Christ. This should dictate how Christians treat one another. 1 Timothy 5, verses 1 and 2 reads, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all purity. The church is the temple of God, a holy habitation or dwelling of God, according to Ephesians 2:19-22. And it must remain pure, 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. Its purity is maintained by following the doctrine given in the New Testament. Adding to or taking away from Scripture is defilement. The church is the kingdom of Christ. In Colossians 1:13, we learn that God delivered Christians from the power of darkness and conveyed them into the kingdom of the Son of His love. This emphasizes the authority within the church. Christ is king. He has all authority according to Matthew 28:18. The church is not a democracy. It's not a republic. Its citizens do not make laws. Only the king make the laws. And we learn them from the New Testament. Finally, the church is the bride of Christ. It is betrothed to him, according to 2 Corinthians 11:2. It is promised to a greater relationship with Christ in the future. Christ revealed what it will be like to John in Revelation 19, verses 7 and 8. Here it reads, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Notice that the clean and bright fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Righteousness is doing what is right according to God's standards. There's only one source for his standards, the Bible. Anything else is on shaky ground. So I like to ask, are you in the church that Christ built? The Rivermont Church of Christ is a congregation that only seeks to worship according to God's instructions, according to his word. And we pattern ourselves after the first century church that you read about in the New Testament. We meet each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Bible study and 11 a.m. for morning worship. And again, Sunday evening at 6 p.m. for evening worship. You have a cordial invitation to attend any or all of our services. We also meet 7:30 Wednesday evening for midweek Bible study. Again, we're located at 2316 East 100 Road in Chester, Virginia. If you have a question or comment concerning this broadcast, or if you'd like a copy of this message, or if you're interested in a Bible correspondence course, please contact us at the meeting address or call 804-530-1764. Thank you for being in our listening audience. I'll be with you again next week at 9:45 a.m. on Seeds of Truth. Have a pleasant morning.